Chapter 10 Cats and Wildlife. Few topics get wildlife enthusiasts as riled as predation by domestic cats. In the wrong environment, cats can undoubtedly cause substantial damage to other species, especially where there is little competition in the shape of wild predators. Although many pet cats do undeniably go out hunting, it has proved remarkably difficult to pin down the impact of that hunting, whether it does have a significant effect on wildlife numbers. Indeed, when the balance of wildlife changes in a particular place, cats become convenient scapegoats. Well-fed pet cats should not need to hunt to supplement their diet, and in that sense, any damage they do is unnecessary. Moreover, their habit of bringing their kill home rather than eating it on the spot does make it easy for their detractors to point the finger at them. It can seem as though they are killing for sport, while deaths due to wilder predators go unnoticed. More insidiously, general anti-cat sentiments can creep into scientific literature addressing wildlife conservation. A group of scientists in Australia has recently called for restrictions on the maximum number of cats allowed per household, mandatory sterilization and registration of pet cats, curfews, requiring pet cats roaming outdoors to wear collar-mounted predation deterrents, or compulsory confinement of cats to their owners' premises. Even though it is far from clear that any of these restrictions would lead to a recovery in the local wildlife. In 1997, the UK's Mammal Society produced an estimate of 275 million animals killed in Britain each year by pet cats. These figures derived from forms completed by their youth wing, Mammal Action. Data from the 696 cats surveyed were extrapolated up to the 9 million cats then in the UK. However, when the full analysis was finally published in 2003, it became clear that very few cats, less than 9%, had been included that did not hunt at all, even though most other studies had concluded that only about half of pet cats ever bring any prey home. Fewer in urban areas, slightly more in the countryside. The reason for this bias appeared to be in the design of the questionnaire, which encouraged Mammal Action members to submit their results only if their cat had brought in some prey during the 5 months of the survey. Despite these shortcomings, the figure of 275 million is still widely quoted by many influential organizations, including the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, the British Trust for Ornithology, and the Bat Conservation Trust. When the figures were first announced in 2001, British wildlife TV presenter Chris Packham, a self-confessed cat hater, appeared on BBC Radio describing cats as sly, greedy, insidious murderers, and calling for them to be shot. More recently, he asserted that all cats should be given ASBOs, antisocial behavior orders, court-imposed restrictions on people likely to cause harassment, alarm, or distress to an individual householder or a neighborhood. Similarly, when the University of Georgia's Kitty Cams revealed that a small minority of cats in Athens, Georgia, were killing a couple of lizards each week, the Los Angeles Times' Paul Whitfield wrote, "So they're slaughtering wildlife, and you can't trust them. Seemed like grounds for government action. Present owners can keep their cats, but as the tabbies die off, so does cat ownership." Footnote. Keen gardeners also seem to detest cats. A 2003 survey commissioned by the UK's Mammal Society as further grist for their campaign against cat ownership found that cats were rated alongside rats and moles as the mammals gardeners least like to see in their gardens. End of note. A January 2013 New York Times report of an estimate of predation by cats across the United States made by scientists from the Smithsonian Institute generated more email responses than any other story that day. The headline of another report on the same study read, "Domestic cats are destroying the planet." Looking at this situation more objectively, the impact cats actually have on wildlife varies enormously from one type of environment to another. The most dramatic effects undoubtedly occur on small oceanic islands onto which cats have been introduced. Many of these islands contain unique fauna that have evolved due to their isolation from the mainland. Others are refuges for seabirds that raise their young in safety there, undisturbed by predators. When cats appear, they can cause havoc. Occasionally these cats have been pets, perhaps the most notorious being the lighthouse keeper's cat that killed the last specimen of the Stevens Island wren in 1894. Usually, however, the cats have either escaped from visiting ships or have been deliberately introduced to suppress pests, such as rabbits, rats, and mice, usually accidental introductions in themselves. Lacking competition from other mammalian predators, cats can thrive in such environments, making easy prey of the local wildlife that has previously been unexposed to such hunters. With such an abundance of food available, cats breed prolifically, producing large populations of ferals. Perhaps counterintuitively, these feral cats sometimes do most harm on islands where they are not the only introduced animal. Some researchers have suggested that an abundance of house mice, for example, provides the cats with a stable diet, thereby enabling them to increase in numbers to the point where they can exterminate the more vulnerable local wildlife. We must keep the effects of feral cats in perspective, even when considering the island cat situation. Island species account for 83% of all documented extinctions of mammals, isolated from many of the diseases, parasites, and predators that plague their relatives on the mainland. These species are intrinsically vulnerable. Yet scientists have been able to implicate feral cats in only about 15% of such extinctions, and even in these, other introduced predators have to take their share of the responsibility. Foxes, cane toads, mongooses, and especially rats can be equally, if not more, devastating. Black ship rats probably do more damage than any other introduced predator, and because cats are effective hunters of this species, their presence can sometimes be beneficial. For example, on Stewart Island, off the coast of New Zealand, feral cats have existed for more than 200 years, side by side with an endangered flightless parrot, the kakapo. These cats feed mainly on introduced species of rats, black and brown, which have been held responsible for the extinction of several other species of birds in the same region. Removal of the cats here might lead to an increase in the rat population and could therefore potentially lead to the extinction of the kakapo. However, we cannot deny that eradicating cats from islands has in some cases led to dramatic recoveries in the populations of threatened vertebrate species. Examples include iguanas on Long Key in the West Indies, deer mice on Coronados Island in the Gulf of California, and a rare bird, the saddleback, on Little Barrier Island in New Zealand. On the mainland, feral cats can undoubtedly be effective predators in some locations, but their impact is much more difficult to quantify. Nevertheless, the sheer numbers of stray and feral cats in the world, somewhere between 25 and 80 million in the United States and around 12 million in Australia, suggests that they must have a major impact. Feral domestic cats are alien predators throughout much of their range. Indeed, they have been in the United States for less than 500 years. In most places where they have been introduced, cats seem able to compete quite effectively with local, native predators, even though the latter should be better adapted to local conditions. Feral cats do have three advantages over other predators. First, their numbers are constantly added to by cats straying from the pet population or emigrating from farms where cats are still kept for pest control. Second, because they are generally less fearful of humans than many wild carnivores, they can better take advantage of food accidentally provided by people, such as at garbage dumps, to sustain themselves when prey is hard to find. Third, because they resemble pet cats in everything but behavior, they attract the sympathy of many people, some of whom devote their lives to providing them with food and even veterinary care. The most scientific attention to this problem, and perhaps the most public outcry, has occurred in Australia and New Zealand, where cats seem to be relatively recent introductions. Footnote. Cats may not be a recent introduction to Australia. It has been suggested that feral cats actually spread there several thousand years ago from Southeast Asia, following the same route as the dingo, the Australian feral dog. See Jonica Newby, The Pact for Survival, Humans and Their Companion Animals, Sydney, Australia, ABC Books, 1997, 193. End of note. In both countries, many small marsupials and flightless birds have undoubtedly gone extinct, but the main culprit may be loss of habitat, not predation. Even where predators have been a major factor, the responsibility is often shared among cats, rats, introduced red foxes, and, in Australia, dingoes. According to Christopher R. Dickman of the Institute of Wildlife Research in Sydney, the effects of cats on prey communities remain speculative. In some situations, cats can be a major cause of decline. In others, they may be protective. Predation from cats appears to have made a major contribution to the decline of some threatened native Australian species, such as the eastern barred bandicoot in Victoria and the rufous hare wallaby in the Northern Territory. On the other hand, in a study of remnant patches of forest in suburban Sydney, the presence of cats protected tree-nesting birds, apparently because they themselves were hunting rats and other animals that would normally have raided the nests. Cats can also suppress the numbers of introduced mammals, such as mice and rabbits, that compete for food with the native wildlife. Despite the equivocal evidence, several Australian municipalities have pressed ahead with measures to reduce the impact of cats on wildlife. These include confinement of cats to owners' premises at all times, prohibiting cat ownership in new suburbs, nighttime curfews, and impounding free-roaming cats in declared conservation areas, even though only the last of these would control the activities of the feral cats that are probably causing the most damage. Researchers have yet to evaluate the effectiveness of such control measures comprehensively. However, a recent survey of four areas of the city of Armdale, Western Australia, suggests that cats may not be the primary culprits after all. One area in this study was a no-cat zone, where cat ownership was strictly prohibited. The second was a curfew zone, in which pet cats had to be belled during the day and kept indoors at night. And in the other two areas, cats went unrestricted. The main prey species in the area were brush-tailed possums, southern brown bandicoots, and the mardo, a small, predatory marsupial a little bigger than a mouse, which was predicted to be the most vulnerable of the three to cat predation. In fact, researchers found more mardos in the unregulated areas than in the curfew or no-cat areas, and saw little difference in the numbers of the other two prey species across any of the sites. What variation there was could be best accounted for by the amount of vegetation available. In other words, habitat degradation, and not cats, may have been the major factor limiting the numbers of small marsupials. The draconian control measures against pet cats had, at least in this one location, produced no benefit to wildlife. How much long-term damage to wildlife do pet cats cause? Estimates of what proportion of pet cats ever kill anything vary considerably, but figures of between 30% and 60% seem reasonable, even when those cats kept indoors without access to prey are excluded. We have little reliable information on how many animals those cats that do hunt actually catch, because such events are rarely observed. What is usually recorded is not how many animals are caught, but how many are brought back dead to their owners. And then a correction factor is used to calculate the number killed to account for those prey items that are eaten where they were killed or simply discarded. The number brought home per cat is often quite low, for example 4.4 animals per cat per year in a recent UK study. The proportion of prey brought home has been calculated only twice, coming out at around 30%. Although one of the two studies examined only 11 cats. Recently, a new study in the United States has provided a much more detailed picture, both metaphorically and literally, as the cats were fitted with kitty cams, lightweight video camcorders that provided a view of everywhere they went for a week or more. These cats took home around a quarter of their prey, they ate another quarter, and left the remaining half uneaten at the capture site. What may make this study somewhat atypical is that the main prey taken was a lizard, the Carolina anole, which many cats find unappetizing. In places where the main prey consists of mammals, such as the more palatable wood mouse commonly taken in the UK, both the proportion brought home and the proportion eaten might be higher. Once we take these correction factors into account, and the figures scaled up to the whole of an area's cat population, the total number of prey taken can at first sight seem alarming. The Mammal Society's figures of 275 million per year might be overstating the case, but between 100 and 150 million may be a reasonable estimate for the entire UK. The recent Smithsonian study produced an estimate of between 430 million and 1.1 billion birds killed annually by pet cats in the mainland United States. Furthermore, individual anecdotes taken in isolation do at first glance suggest that cats might be capable of bringing about local exterminations. For example, biologist Rebecca Hughes from the UK's Reading University reported that in the cold winter of 2009-10, one cat that lived beside a woodland brought in a blue tit, chickadee, every single day for a fortnight. Whether such levels of predation make any significant difference to wildlife populations in the long term is far less easy to assess. To take the blue tit as an example, the UK has an estimated 3.5 million breeding pairs, each producing 7 or 8 young per year, about 25 million more young birds than would be required to keep the population constant. So, some 25 million blue tits must die during the course of most years. Some do not make it out of the nest, and some are victims of predation, but many starve during cold winters because their metabolism runs so quickly that they are barely able to store enough food to keep themselves alive overnight. Some of the birds brought home by the cat referred to above may well have died of natural causes during the night and were then retrieved by the cat in the morning. In fact, the numbers of blue tits in UK gardens have increased by a quarter over the past 50 years, so pet cats are unlikely to be having any major effect on their numbers year on year. Most of the cat's favourite prey species are equally profligate breeders. In built-up environments in the UK, these include wood mice, 15 to 20 young per pair per year, brown rats, 15 to 25, and robins, 10 to 15. Rather than contributing to the decline in wildlife populations, cats may simply be killing or collecting animals that are in any case not destined to survive for much longer, that are ill or malnourished. Such animals are by their very nature the easiest to catch. One study that examined the condition of birds brought home by cats tended to confirm this idea. These birds were generally underweight and in poor condition. Recent evidence shows that garden birds may be evolving strategies to cope with cats. In rural areas, the main predators of European songbirds are usually the sparrowhawk and the kestrel. In urban gardens, the main predator is often the cat. By comparison with their country cousins, common birds living in urban gardens, such as sparrows, robins, chickadees, and finches, were found to wriggle less, were more likely to play dead, were less aggressive and made fewer shrieks and alarm calls, or by comparison with their country cousins. The longer an area had been urbanized, the greater the difference, which suggests that the urban birds had not simply learned about avoiding cats, but had actually evolved a new set of defense mechanisms over the 100 or so generations since large-scale urbanization began in the mid-19th century. What seems to irritate wildlife enthusiasts the most is not that pet cats hunt at all, but that they should not have to hunt, since the majority are well fed by their owners. Cats are therefore often portrayed as committing murder, as opposed to other predators which kill legitimately to survive. Because they are fed, pet cats can exist at a much higher density than they ever could if they had to catch every meal for themselves. Thus, even occasional hunting could have a substantial impact, simply because there are so many cats. Cats have not yet lost their desire to hunt. Too few generations separate them from the rodent controllers of the 19th and early 20th centuries. They will go out hunting even if well fed. In the past, when they were mouses, a single cat did not provide enough calories to allow them to relax between meals, but hunger does affect how intensely they hunt. Feral cats, even those that obtain most of their food from scraps, spend on average twice as much time hunting as pet cats do. Mother cats with kittens to feed will hunt almost continuously if they are not themselves being fed by someone. By contrast, pet cats rarely hunt seriously, often watching potential prey without bothering to stalk it. A hungry cat will pounce several times until the prey either escapes or is caught. A well-fed pet will pounce half-heartedly and then give up, probably explaining why pet cats, when they do kill birds, usually succeed only when they target individuals already weakened by hunger or disease. Furthermore, pet cats rarely consume their prey, often bringing it home as if to consume it there, but then abandoning it. The quality of a cat's diet also affects its desire to hunt. In one recent study conducted in Chile, cats fed on household scraps were 4 times more likely to kill and eat a mouse than cats fed on modern pet food. In another, cats eating low-quality cat food would break off to kill and chase a rat, but cats eating fresh salmon ignored the same opportunity to hunt. These and other similar observations suggest that cats fed on scraps or nutritionally unbalanced cat food are strongly motivated to hunt, in particular by an impulse that they must supplement their diet to maintain their health. The domestic cat, in common with all its wild felid cousins, has highly specialized nutritional requirements that can be met from only one of 2 sources, either modern, nutritionally balanced commercial cat food or prey. Listen to the section, Cats Are the True Carnivores, in Chapter 3. Scraps and low-quality cat food tend to be high in carbohydrates. If eaten day after day, carbohydrates seem to give cats a craving for protein-rich food, which in their world means flesh. Commercial pet foods are of much better quality than they were half a century ago, so most modern pet cats have likely received a nutritionally balanced diet every day since they were weaned, and so are unlikely to become prolific hunters. Cats that have been neglected or stray at some time in their lives may have been driven to hunt through nutritional necessity. Once they have acquired the habit, it may be difficult to lose, so such cats may require extra precautions to prevent them from hunting unnecessarily. Listen to the section, How Can We Prevent Cats from Hunting, at the end of this chapter. Of course, we all want to minimize the damage cats do to wildlife. The best approach to this problem will vary depending on what kind of cat we are dealing with, and particularly how close the cat in question is associated with people. Pets and ferals require different solutions. On oceanic islands, cats are invariably introduced aliens, largely or completely unsocialized to people and occupying a niche that would otherwise have remained vacant, since medium-sized land mammals cannot reach such places without man's help. Whether the cats were introduced deliberately or are the descendants of escaped ship's cats or settlers' pets, does not matter. Either way, they are now essentially wild animals. Eradication of these cats by humane means is usually the only means whereby each island's unique ecosystem can be restored, although this should not be carried out in isolation. Other alien species, such as rats and mice, may themselves decimate the local fauna once they are liberated from the pressure of being preyed on by cats. Perhaps, surprisingly, given the publicity that the damage that cats can do receives, only about 100 such eradications have taken place so far, with thousands more islands still affected by the presence of feral cats. Ultimately, however, widespread humane eradication may be the only way to fully restore fragile island ecosystems. Minimizing the impact of feral cats on wildlife is much more difficult when they live near pet cats, which on the mainland is almost everywhere. We have few reliable estimates on how much damage such feral cats do, mainly because they are rarely the only predator present, competing with both their native equivalents and also introduced species, such as the red fox and the rat. Feral cats, even those that obtain some of their food from handouts or scavenging, are of necessity much more serious hunters than the vast majority of pet cats, and so per capita must be responsible for more damage to wildlife. In many locations, human activity has reduced areas of conservation interest, biodiversity value, into small islands, albeit islands surrounded by concrete rather than water. For example, urbanization has broken the once contiguous heathland habitat of the sand lizard on the south coast of England into fragments, making each isolated population highly vulnerable to extinction by wildfires. In other similarly fragmented habitats, feral cats could potentially cause considerable damage, although well-documented examples remain scarce. Eradication of feral cats from areas where they coexist with pet cats is both problematic and ultimately unproductive. Unless all pet cats are curfewed or kept permanently indoors, or compulsorily registered and microchipped, it is virtually impossible to be certain that a cat that has been trapped is feral, particularly if it is somewhat socialized to people. Even if local eradication was achieved, the niche formerly occupied by the feral cats would still exist and would soon be filled by stray cats or by ferals migrating from other areas. Although they rarely say so outright, it is difficult to avoid the impression that conservationists and wildlife enthusiasts would like to exterminate all feral cats. This would account for their vehement objection to trap-neuter return, TNR, schemes in which feral cats are, for welfare reasons, neutered and then returned to the site where they were originally trapped. Although such schemes might, in theory, eventually lead to the disappearance of the feral cat population in the locality in question, due to reduced breeding, this has rarely actually been achieved. Undoctored cats migrate into the area to which the neutered cats have been returned and soon replace the original breeding capacity. Indeed, such schemes can inadvertently generate hotspots for the abandonment of unwanted cats, their owners believing, possibly mistakenly, that the cat will join the feral colony and be allowed to share its food. Even where the site is fairly well isolated and trapping and neutering is maintained for years, the feral cats rarely disappear completely. I studied one such colony that had formed around a partly derelict hospital in the south of England, originally built in the 19th century as an insane asylum, and, as such places usually were, located several miles from the nearest village. Prior to the introduction of TNR, the colony had consisted of several hundred cats and kittens. Several years later, numbers had reduced to about 80 cats. Many of these were members of the original colony, now neutered and gradually becoming elderly, but at least one tomcat and several females had evaded capture and were continuing to breed. In addition, pregnant females would appear periodically, presumably having been dumped there. Although, being well socialized, these were easy enough to trap and rehome via a humane charity. Overall, the colony stayed the same size, residual breeding and immigration replacing those of the original group that were dying of old age, sustained by the food provided by the dwindling band of remaining long-stay patients. Supporters of TNR maintain that once a colony has been neutered and its food supply stabilized, its impact on wildlife should reduce. However, little reliable evidence has been found to support this position. The cats presumably continue to hunt. Better nutrition may result in less consumption of prey items, but they, having caught the habit of hunting every day, nevertheless continue to kill and harass wildlife. However, the neutered cats do at least occupy space that, had they been euthanized rather than neutered and returned, would have soon become occupied by other cats. From the perspective of assigning finite resources to wildlife conservation, it may be better for conservationists to allow cat enthusiasts to assist in managing a cat population, if it is not causing catastrophic damage to wildlife. The much-touted alternative, the extermination of feral cats on a regular basis, is likely to alienate those of their supporters who care equally for cats and wildlife. Since feral cats present such a slippery target where they coexist with free-roaming pets, conservationists tend to concentrate their efforts on restricting owned cats. This despite an almost complete lack of hard evidence that pet cats are causing significant and lasting damage to wildlife. In an apparent attempt to fill the loophole caused by this lack of evidence, scientists at the UK's University of Sheffield have proposed a fear effect hypothesis that pet cats suppress breeding in bird populations, their very presence triggering fear responses in the birds that inhibit foraging and depress fertility. However, this theory discounts that urban birds seem to have evolved strategies to overcome the impact of cats. Furthermore, the mere presence of one lazy and ineffective predator must surely have less impact than the fear engendered by rats, magpies, crows, and other serious predators of small birds and their young. When targeting pet cats for criticism, bird enthusiasts often fail to mention that other predators may make much more of an impact on bird numbers than cats do. Magpies, major predators of songbird nests, have tripled in number in the UK since 1970 to between 1 and 2 million individuals, with most of the increase occurring in towns where, coincidentally, cats have also increased. The Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, pledged to protect magpies as well as their prey, investigated this increase in case it was tied to reductions in songbird populations over the same period. They concluded, "The study found no evidence that increased numbers of magpies have caused declines in songbirds and confirms that populations of prey species are not determined by the numbers of their predators." Presumably these include domestic cats, although they don't say so specifically. "Availability of food and suitable nesting sites are probably the main factors limiting songbird populations. We discovered that the loss of food and habitats caused by intensive farming have played a major role in songbird declines." Cats rarely catch magpies, but they may inadvertently assist smaller birds by suppressing the populations of some of their other enemies. The UK has at least 10 brown rats for every cat, and while rats are omnivores, their impact on bird and small mammal populations around the world has been well documented. Moreover, since young brown rats are among cats' favourite prey items, if cats suppress rat populations in towns, they may indirectly be helping birds. Cat owners may therefore be able to do more for wildlife by improving habitats for small birds and mammals other than rats in their gardens than by confining their cats indoors. Listen to the section, "How Can We Prevent Cats from Hunting?" at the end of this chapter. Such precautions may not be enough to silence the cat's most vocal critics. Furthermore, most of today's owners revile or endure rather than admire their cat's hunting prowess. Unlike their ancestors, pet cats no longer need to hunt to stay healthy, so a reduction in their desire to hunt will do them no harm. Ideally, the cat of the future will have less inclination to hunt than the cat of today. How can we prevent cats from hunting? Surveys show that the large majority of pet cats catch very few birds or mammals. If your cat is part of this majority, then you need not take any countermeasures unless you happen to live next door to a nature reserve. If your cat is a prolific hunter, one of the following may reduce its impact. Equip your cat with a belled collar. Although some studies have found little effect, several have shown significant reductions in the number of prey caught, both mammals and birds. Add a neoprene bib to your cat's collar. This interferes with its ability to pounce and may reduce the number of birds that it catches. Add an ultrasonic device to your cat's collar to warn potential prey of its approach. Keep your cat indoors at night, This may reduce the number of mammals it catches and slightly reduces its own risk of being hit by a car. Play with your cat and allow it to hunt prey-like toys. This may reduce its motivation to hunt, although this has never been scientifically evaluated. Any collar you put on your cat should be of the snap-open type, as other types could strangle the cat. See www.fabcats.org/owners/safety/collars/info.html for additional information. Additionally, cat owners can mitigate any damage their cat might cause to the local wildlife by taking positive steps to provide food and refuges. Feeding birds at a cat-proof bird table and building a log pile in the corner of the garden as shelter for small mammals are just two measures that counteract any effect of the cat's hunting.